morning, good evening, depending upon what part of the world you're in. If it's Friday, you know it's the CEO series, where we bring together the most inspiring leaders, entrepreneurs, innovators from across the globe to share their thoughts. Today, our guest on our show is we're thrilled to have a trailblazer in the realm of human capital, the exceptional Sarah Albakari. As the driving force behind Tabriz transformation, Sarah, in her role as Vice President of Human Capital, has brought home distinguished awards like the Excellence in HR from Future Workplace and Innovation and Employee Engagement from the GCC Government HR Awards, academic brilliance that spans from Zayed University to the globally renowned INSEAD. So without further ado, let's dive into our conversation with Sarah. Hey. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So glad to have you here. It's been a few months since we last talked and I was in your office. So I wanted to start, I always like to start the discussion about you telling us about your journey to the role you're at now. You're starting in learning and development, which is where we met. And now you've become the Vice President of Human Capital. So walk us through that. Give us a brief synopsis of that journey.
Sure, absolutely, Ron. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me to your brilliant show. It's my honor to be part of it. Going through my journey, I always describe my journey like a roller coaster ride. It's full of consistent, I would say, butterflies in the stomach, a blend of excitement, uncertainty, and mostly importantly, definitely having fun. I would maybe pause here and go a step back before even I start my career journey. If you recall, during our discussion at my office, I studied a blended, I would say, degree, IT and strategic comms degree, a bachelor degree. I don't want to say that it was a mistake, but yes, indeed, it was a mistake. I'm not an IT gadget person. But at the same time, this has really made me more aware and conscious to your choices in life and what exactly do you want, especially when it comes to your career journey. Mm-hmm. So at that time, when I graduated in 2003, I started a part-time job at my uni. And then my first, I would say, career was in an oil and gas in 2004. I spent there less than a year. And after getting married, I decided to quit and look after my children at home. I spent at home 8 years. And okay, honestly speaking, during these 8 years, I won't deny how active I was and what I did during those 8 years. Besides raising my two children, I decided to continue my master's degree. And I graduated with honor. I opened and tried to open my own business, which unfortunately, was a failure. However, I learned a lot throughout that journey. And then I started, yes, my first career, I would say official career journey as learning and development officer in 2013. I discovered, honestly speaking, throughout the journey that nothing is too late. And yes, I can do what I want to do. So I remember at that time when I started my first step into the career world and the corporate world, is I heard a lot that, oh, you're going back to the career after 8 years being at home, and we are already reached a mid-level managerial level and you're starting from scratch. I was like, yeah, let me try. And the first week I discovered that I was pregnant with my third child, which was unplanned. And I started to doubt myself again. My self-sabotage started to come in. Should I quit? Should I continue? What should I do? I decided to continue. I decided to discover that journey. And alhamdulillah, thank God, I was lucky enough to exceed expectations and to continue in that journey from learning and development officer for a year, then to acting learning and development assistant manager for 2 years, then learning and development, learning and emeritization manager to the senior manager and to acting vice president and today to human capital vice president individual.
You know, I smile because of that, because we met 6 years ago, when you were in the capacity of learning and development, because I did a project for To Breed back at that time. But, you know, one of the cool things that you mentioned was this. You talked about the roller coaster, the career transitions, and we all go through those kinds of things. And you were able to handle it. You know, you talked about having self-doubt. How did you overcome that and say, I'm just going to stay focused on what I'm going to do and I'm going to continue on?
Honestly speaking, it's not an easy journey, right? Until today, we sometimes do still have that self-sabotage and self-doubt and questioning your own capabilities. But I would always honor one main contribution, which was the coaching journey. So I started this whole coaching journey in 2017, which for me was a transformational journey, to be honest. It was the door that opened my eyes to the self-awareness, to know myself better, to know how competent I am, to know what can I do and what can I achieve and what sort of challenges that I was able to overcome and I still can overcome more. I can't say it's just the coaching. I think it's a combination of so many things.
Layers.
That really helped me, exactly. That really helped me to continue and stay focused.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to give the audience a little background. Sarah is my go-to person as I work in the Middle East. And I run into young ladies who are struggling with the same kind of things that you're dealing with, that you've dealt with. And I can always give Sarah a call, and she's always there for me to take them under her wings and do her magic, all of that. So I thank you for that. I gave you kind of accolades before we started, but I just wanted the audience to know how far we go back, you know, in doing that. So self-doubt, and I think everyone goes through that from time to time. You're a global speaker. You spoke at the Energy Conference a couple of months back. That's quite a jump from starting out and training, and all of a sudden you're on a global stage and you've got, I think we had maybe 300, 400 people there, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It wasn't an easy. First of all, Ron, I always remember a slogan that I heard from a colleague of mine is, each one teach one. And the least you could do, no matter where you're from, no matter what language do you speak, no matter what gender you are, at the end of the day, I feel it's our duty as human beings is always to help others and be there for each other. Thank you. Yeah. And thanks to you, because you were always there as well for us. Yes.
It was kind of a mutual admiration society. So I appreciate that. So how do you take all of those learnings and being vice president of human capital, culture and all those things, how do you connect all of that? Do you, I know there's a lot of learnings from where you came from and what you went through. Do you kind of mix that into your approach to human capital? Because you won all these awards, so you're doing something right.
Yeah, I guess we're doing something right. I can't take all the credit and say I'm doing. Actually, we are doing something really right. And honestly, this starts from a personal level to the community level. Alhamdulillah, we were lucky enough, if I'll start from the community level and from the countrywide level, is to have all the support from the countrywide to support us as leaders and as women specifically. If you recall, just a few days back, we celebrated the Emirates Women's Day. Yes.
And you were selected as one of the most powerful.
Yes, thank you. Yes. And it was such an honor. It means a lot to me. I was surprised to see my name on that list. I can't deny that. I keep saying it, though the people surrounding me are like, oh, we were not surprised at all.
When I opened up my social media that morning and I saw that award, and I said, yes. I was not surprised, because I figured if they were going to honor Emirati women in the UAE, as long as I've been here, you would have to be on. So I wasn't surprised. And I sent you a note based on that.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ron. Honestly, it's a, I think it's an opportunity to, this is just a testimonial of all the empowerment that we do receive as women in the UAE from starting from the leadership team. Yeah. They created policies to support us. They created and gave us all the opportunities just to shine and evolve and present and showcase our strengths. Alhamdulillah, I consider myself a very small junior human being who really learned from many leaders in the country, starting from our leadership team. And then if I go also to my company itself, Alhamdulillah, يعني, we were lucky enough to have an executive management team who do also support their people, their individuals. I consider Tabreed one of those companies who recognize people as their main assets. Just as an example, during the year of COVID, where some practices from HR were, I understand all the circumstances, but they were quite rigid in their approach, right? Some of them also had to, unfortunately, lose their jobs or focus on people and their time and attendance and punch in and punch out and all of these little things. While in Tabreed, actually, we were growing. We were looking after people. We were visiting our main assets and checking on them, looking at different benefits, hardship allowances, giving more, promoting people, looking into opportunities to grow, despite that it is COVID and we were all working virtually. I don't want to go through COVID phase, but it was quite a testimonial for Tabreed to succeed during that year.
Well, you know, COVID, and one of the things you talked about, with Tabreed is they were living what they were trying to talk about with culture. You know, and during that period, they did the right things and they listened to their people and all those kinds of things. Because when I look at the awards that Tabreed has won, Innovation and Employee Engagement and the Private Sector Awards, and there was another award that you Excellence in HR. You win those awards because you have a panel of judges. And sometimes there's people like me sitting on the panel and I read through everything. So it's not like they're just giving out awards because you have lived, eat, breathe, and sleep that, and you create that culture inside of the organization. So kudos to the top management if they're listening, because you did the right things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And personally, honestly, receiving awards, and if I would list them for the past couple of years being in Tabreed, we received, I believe, just for HC, it's like 6 awards. For me, receiving awards is honestly a recognition and proof of our credibility as a company. It's building a trust with all customers, whether internally or externally. It attracts talent. It shows the our competitiveness advantage as well. It showcases our commitment as well to excellence. And this is something, honestly, kudos to every single individual in the organization, not only myself.
Yeah. It says a lot from your impact that you're having, because I look at all the comments that are coming from, and I'm going to assume they're probably from Tabreed, Anud, Geetika. Jim Moy is Washington, D.C., a big attorney in D.C. He listens in every morning, every Friday morning. Noor Al Hashmi, Marianne Mohammed, Marianne Sultan, and it just goes on and on for people that's coming in. And this, I can't even scroll down. There's Nita, there's Prashi, and my friend John Self out of Texas who listens in every morning. So it says a lot about the impact that you're having. How was the transition in moving into senior leadership? Because you started in training and development, and as each move, you kind of walked up the corporate ladder. Yeah. And now you're, I don't want to say, I'm not saying this in a nice way, but you're kind of at the top of the pyramid. And you have the human capital function. How was that transition? What are some challenges you faced? How did you come over that and continue on that roller coaster to the top?
I have to admit, it wasn't an easy, right? I don't want to sound like the superhero who overcome all the challenges, but it wasn't easy. Given so, what happened, especially to that transition, happened by coincidence during the first week of working from home during COVID, which I remember very well, March 2020, where I was appointed to lead the whole department after the departure of my predecessor. And at that time, Rona, if you remember, we discussed this in my office, and I told you, I didn't know everything in human capital, yeah, as simple as this. I know my bread and butter. I know my strength was always talent management, learning and development. But there are some areas in human capital that were quite new to me. I knew them by theories. I know that I worked really hard to be certified from SHRM as well, after a couple of failures, which I admit. And at the same time, I didn't know what to do. I remember one of my discussions with my coach, I told her, it feels like I'm in the middle of an ocean, and I can see the island far away. Mm. I don't know how to swim, and the ocean is full of sharks. So
hold it for a second. That's a hell of a metaphor. I'm in the middle of the ocean. The sharks are coming. I can see the shore, and I got to navigate that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my feeling at that time when I had to leave the department. The first thing I did is, I remember when my boss at that time called me, he's like, Sarah, you're taking this role. I was like, no. And I always receive this feedback. They're like, Sarah, you are one of the few Emiratis who always reject promotions. And the reason is that I know myself and I take my job very seriously. And I know promotion means responsibilities. And for me, it's accountability. And for me, I have to achieve. It's not an option. Okay. I have to do it.
Yeah.
So when I took that role, and I remember it was me who was appointed at that time, I was like, okay, I'm taking it. I called for a meeting, and the first thing I told my team, I was like, I'll be myself. I don't know. I don't know everything. There are things that we need to figure it out together. There are areas that I rely on you and your expertise. And until today, I'm saying this. I rely on you being the SME, the subject matter expert. We need to work together. As much as I need you, you would need me, hand in hand, to just overcome whatever challenge we might have.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, thank God, 2020 was one of the most successful years, not only for human capital, but also for Tabreed. I believe it was the first year where Tabreed exceeded significantly expectations, achieved and exceeded all the targets that we wanted to achieve. It was the first year where human capital department also was rated the top performers.
Yeah.
and honestly, it was not just me. It was a collective work with the team and with everyone else.
You know, you told me this story when we were in your office a few months back, you know, and you said that, I don't know. And you told your team that you don't know. What suggestions would you give the leader, someone that's coming into a new role, and you have all this angst of coming in there, and you want to be seen as a smart person, but you're saying, I don't know, and we can work together. What kind of advice, coaching advice, would you give that new leader that comes in with that mindset? Okay, so if I'm a vice president, I have to know everything, which is the worst thing you could ever do.
One advice, bottom line in one single word, which is be authentic.
Yeah.
As simple as this, just be authentic to yourself and to others as well.
Be yourself. And I think authenticity is a big word today. You know, when I read a lot of management leadership journals and white papers, and they're talking about being authentic, being who the person you are. So I'll go back to one of the points you mentioned, that, and you told me the story before, that you were offered promotions and you said, nope, not ready. The average person would have jumped to take that, but you said nope, because you had your own path. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's always dragged into a long conversation with my managers. Like, why not? I'm like, no, I'm taking my job seriously. You can ask My children can tell you stories about it. My husband, my family, they know. I know myself, career is one of my top values. And when I say career, it doesn't mean just to progress in that career more than just to excel in what I'm doing and really know the know-how. And I'm somebody who believes to have hands-on people. And as much as you macro, as much as sometimes you need to micro and to balance between both. Not just being there as a title or as a leader or just as a name. You need literally to be there with your people. Mm-hmm. And one thing, Ron, I always highlight is how do you build that trust with others? And I don't want to start with theories, but from my humble experience, it's just being yourself and being honest to yourself and to others. This by itself would build a trusted environment and culture across you. And especially when you are a leader, you will cascade the top-bottom approach. Mm-hmm. It has a huge impact on others as well.
Yeah. I've always said, and I tell leaders this, that, you know, your people can spot a phony a mile away. And they can sense it just like that. And, you know, you're trying to play a role, and they're sensing that you're not that role. So authenticity is the safest route, because you're going to bring people in closer. We're kind of all in this together. So in learning those things, how do you carry that into your coaching practice? Because you have a strong coaching practice. So let me give, you know, I think I mentioned this before. Every time I speak to someone, when I'm doing sessions across the Middle East and someone is struggling, you're always the go-to person. And I apologize to her earlier, to the audience, to say, I forgive me for that, but you're the only person I know can help.
It's always my pleasure. And I told you this, Ron, earlier. It's always my pleasure.
Yeah.
I'm always here to extend my humble experience and support as much as I can to anybody, anyone, wherever they are. Going back to your question about the coaching, honestly speaking, even when I started the whole coaching journey, it was not very common at that time in the region. I do know and acknowledge that there are so many people who are expertise in the whole coaching, but there are some, I'm speaking on behalf of my people, who are quite, some of them were new to this whole mm-hmm. coaching platform. What I admire about coaching is self-awareness, is more into, I started honestly with the intention of just knowing myself. I had no intention of taking that or plans to implement that in my life or with others or even coach clients. Mm-hmm. It was basically just a journey just to discover myself, mm-hmm. Just to know who am I and my values and my goals and my strengths and areas to improve and all of that. So this was the first thing when I started the journey. I did not expect how powerful it was.
Yes.
And not only to be honest to myself, but also to the people surrounding me. Everywhere, whether at my company and at the organization, with my friends, with my family, there are some key skill sets I wasn't aware of, and with the time I started to embody them, people started to realize how powerful is coaching. They started to be curious, actually, to come and ask me, "What did you do? What happened to you? You're someone else."
So how do you balance that? I mean, being one of the top coaches in the UAE and being a female at that, how do you balance that with the work schedule, coaching and clients and people like me always sending people to you? How do you balance it?
One thing, Ron, I have to always mention and remind myself and remind others is, we can do it all. It's okay. a statement I always repeated to myself, that I can do it all, yes. And no one can persuade me otherwise unless I attempt to and learn from both successes and failures, right? It's to me, failure is also a form of winning, to be honest. I must acknowledge the support that I do receive from the surroundings, but at the same time, there are some skill sets that you need to have in order to do it all. One, I would always say, how do you manage your time? How do you manage your calendar? So yeah. I'm somebody, by the way, who always walk with my calendar. My friends, they know. If they want to book something with me, they have to tell me a week in advance.
Okay.
I do receive a lot of sarcastic jokes. I do receive a lot of comments and, you know.
I need seven days.
And trust me, Ron, this question, I receive it from everybody. Even during my master's degree, the recent one, I did it in Singapore. And the reason I chose Singapore is it was my first abroad program. I really wanted, diversity is one of my top values. So I really wanted to socialize and network with people from the globe, just to learn from others and network with them. So they used to tell me, Sarah, you have three children. You're an Emirati, you're a woman, you're a Muslim, you're traveling like 9 hours to Singapore to study not your first master's, but actually your second master's. You're a certified coach and you're holding a leadership role. So how do you do it all? And honestly, I always say it happens. I think it's what helps is supporting system I do have. I would say this a million times, from my loving husband to my family to my management to everybody in my life. I would say my father. My father, he passed away less than a year, and he taught me to always be a fighter, and he always taught me to continue learning no matter what, no matter how old you are. Just keep learning and keep learning and keep learning, and this is what I'm doing. And finally is achieving, and I know achievement is something very dear to me, so it's not just to tick the box, but I feel the urge to earn these sort of achievements. So I do work hard. I know myself, and I give my best to achieve that.
Well, I'm sure he is extreme. He was proud before, but I'm sure he's extremely proud. You know, you told me a story when I was in your office a couple of months back of how you, when you came out back, was getting back into the workforce, and you want your kids to go to a different school, to exposure and all those things, which I thought was powerful, and how you started running these sessions inside of the school. Can you walk us through that if you don't mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you mean the UA culture awareness sessions?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you recall the beginning of the interview, I said I was at home for 8 years after I quit my job in the oil and gas. And during these 8 years, I always told my husband, there's something missing in my life. I feel there's something is missing, which I'm not aware of. I wasn't sure. So I decided to move my children to international schools. And the reason is diversity. I wanted them to socialize with different people, different mindsets and all of that. So I remember in 2010-11, the first year, we moved to this. I moved my kids to this school. They sent us an invitation to all the parents, as just from the parents' team in the school. I attended 10 minutes late, and as always, you know, Arabs and sometimes we're quite 5 to 10 minutes late, which is okay. It's accepted.
That's cool.
So when I attended that meeting. The people sitting in that room were roughly around 15 people. They stared at me, and they're quite surprised to see me. I was like, did I join the wrong meeting? Am I in the wrong place? But I decided to stay. I decided to spend the full 1 hour just to see and learn from them. And
okay, I think you're freezing. Okay, we're good. We're good. Sarah, we're good now. We're good.
Yeah, you can hear
Okay.
me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Technical difficulties. Cool.
No worries.
So you sat there and decided to stay.
So I decided to stay, and then I asked the parents' team, and they confirmed to me that I was the first Emirati who attends the parents' team meeting, and they didn't know how to interact with me, and they weren't sure what to say and what not to say and all of that. So at that moment, I was like, it seems you guys have so many questions about us as Emiratis. And they were like, well, yes. I was like, okay, I'm offering my free services just to provide the UAE culture awareness to any parents, whoever would like
Wow.
to come and ask. So they organized the meeting, and I remember this very well. It was in the cafeteria, and I was surprised. I didn't prepare any presentation at that time. And I came just with my own humble knowledge, and more than I believe 90, hundreds of parents with expats, with teachers, with their friends attended, and it was a full audience in that room. I was there. The meeting was supposed to be for 30 minutes, and it took roughly around 2 hours, if I'm not mistaken, and
Wow.
that dragged to a yearly UAE culture awareness to the expats in the school. To the extent that some of the media, and I started to create my own presentation, and I did my own research about my country and the common question that I used to receive. And then some of the media heard about me, and they featured me in Gulf News and The National. Some of the firms as well invited me just to give them. And honestly, I was doing it just to pay back my country, just to do something for the people living in this land. I always say this.
Freezing from your side. Ade, can you? Okay. Technical difficulties. Here's the story you told about that. Here's what's interesting, because a lot of people, first of all, you made a decision to pull out of the comfort zone for your kids, to expose your kids to a different environment. And then you saw a need and you fulfill that, because a lot of people would have saw that and they would have said, well, I'm not going to the next meeting, but I'll still send my kids. So when I look at those kind of approaches, there's something inside it says, how can I help? How can I bring a level of awareness? Is that what kind of piqued that interest? Because I know a lot of people would have said, everything's cool. I'm fine. I'm going to leave. And that's going to be the end of it.
Yes, that's absolutely it, Ron. It's something I believe in me since I was young, is always to offer people help as much as I can within the bandwidth that I can. When I was at that school, I saw, yes, there is a huge need to get to know us. It felt for a bit that I look like an alien to them. You know what I mean? To the extent I received some questions, and for me, there is no silly question, but I received some questions like, what do you guys wear under abaya? Why do you cover your head? What do you do at home? Do you sleep with the headscarf? So I received so many questions, and there is nothing wrong with these questions. Yeah. But I felt there was a huge need to raise their awareness about us. And just to continue what I was saying before the technical difficulties, that we do appreciate, as an Emirati, on behalf of all my fellow Emiratis, we do appreciate, and to all the expats who have contributed to build our country. Mm-hmm. And I always say this to them, we do need you guys as much as you need us. And without you, we wouldn't succeed, and we wouldn't reach where we are today. Me being here in your show, speaking English language, which is not my mother tongue language, does show where did we reach, and how did we reach, and why did we reach it. Mm-hmm. And it shows a huge and clear vision that we mm-hmm. had from day one. And alhamdulillah, thank God we were able to achieve that and exceed that.
Yeah. That was a great experience. I know the feedback that you probably received from those people was phenomenal, because my story, I came to Middle East about 6-7 years ago, and I left New York City and I moved to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. It was culture shock, and I had to figure it out on my own. I would love to have had someone that would taking that under consideration to do that.
And I always say that, to be honest, Ron, I always say, if I am living as an expat in any country in this world, I would love somebody from that country to teach me.
There we go. There we go. So tell us about, if you look back over your life, what would you say was the most important leadership lesson that you've learned?
Leadership
to drive you to the leader you are today, because something was percolating, even with the situation with the schools, something was there and it kept percolating.
I would say three things, to be honest. One is be human. I think it's one of the lessons I learned, and especially from our leadership team, is be human. And no matter what designation you might have, no matter where you're sitting, no matter what you're doing, just have that humanity aspect in you. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that. Two is be a lifelong learner. Embrace this continuous learning. And when I say learning, I don't refer to the classroom trainings or to just learn even from your little child. Just lifelong learner. And finally, take all the opportunities and never give up. And this is not only for you as a leader, but for any single human being. And alhamdulillah, I always say alhamdulillah, by the way, it's a culture thing. I thank God on everything I say.
I understand that.
I always take any opportunity that comes to me. Okay. I never say no. So
yeah. Have you ever considered leadership development, maybe at a university, speaking at a course or something like that, developing a course around, for even something, you know, the award that you won the other week, which was the only select few of the entire UAE, taking that back to organizations, because you're hiring a lot of young Emirati talent now. And a lot of those men as well as women are going through, the confidence thing that they're going through and trying to build a career and not knowing what they're going to do. Have you ever considered taking it back to that level? I know your plate is full. I know you have all these things going on now. But I'm thinking of that because you basically gave us a masterclass today in overcoming self-doubt and how do you, as a female, How do you build this out to and create a brand that you've created from being not working for 8 years and you've done all that?
Have I thought, I won't lie to you, I haven't thought about it, but did it come across me? Yes, it did. So I was approached by a couple of government entities to and educational institutions to give an awareness sessions, right? And if I may just share a very short story that happened with Al Ain University in Al Ain. They invited me to give a speech to the expats who are living there in the university about the UA culture. And when I reached there, I was surprised to see the full auditorium full of Emiratis young youth who are still at their first or second year. And it seems, I'm not sure what happened, but the understanding at that time is that there is a speech, an awareness speech, and they weren't sure what is it about. So I told the organizers, I'm like, I'm not prepared. I came prepared for expats, but I can see the full auditorium. I can't give them the same speech. So then I decided to flip the story, and I told them, listen, they were like, it's okay, you can share whatever you want. And I was like, I do have a story. Let me share with them my journey. Hopefully I can inspire one at least. Okay. It was one of the most successful events, Ron. I have some of the videos. I'm still in touch with the team over there. I'm in touch with most of the young audience who were in that room. They were so inspired. And when things come from your own experience and from your heart, trust me, people do feel it and do believe it.
Yes. Well, that anchors back to the initial thought that you made. The branding piece was about being authentic because it comes through. You know, when you are a BS artist, that also comes through. But when you're authentic and you're telling a story and it anchors back to a learning that you grew up as a kid or whatever it was, that resonates with people more so than any PowerPoint slide, five bullets, whatever it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's next? I mean, what's next? I mean, because your plate is full and you've got all of these programs that's going on now. What is your next vision? That's something that you want to explore a little more? Anything on the calendar that you're thinking about?
Let me just correct you, Ron, on one thing. My plate is not yet full. So. Okay.
Cool. I like that.
So when I submitted my thesis 2 weeks ago, or actually on 9th of September, most of the people surrounding me, they're like, that's it. Stop studying. It's time for you to give and to focus and to concentrate. I was like, okay, I'll do that for a period of time. But then I have so many things to do list. I have a long list to do. So it's not it. My plate is not yet full. So many things I'm eager to learn. I'm eager to give as much as to take, to learn as much as to explore. I have this curiosity mindset. I'm always curious. I have hundreds and thousands of questions to ask.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, authenticity, you mentioned curiosity. And one of the things that I've kind of learned through my long career is that a lifelong learner. When I travel, I have a list of articles that I printed out and I read. Am I doing it for work? No, I just want to learn new things. If someone has a new theory on, I just want to learn and expose myself to more. I'll turn on YouTube and look at a video and is it for work? Not really, but I just want to learn more about it. That curiosity. But how can you, is that a part of a career journey to be curious and always want to learn more? Not so much for work, but just for awareness.
Yeah, I think it's not only a career, to be honest. It's just a mindset. You could be curious even if you're doing nothing and sitting at home. You can be curious if you are an 8 years old child. Yeah. And I always say this to my team, like, wear the hat of an 8 years old curious child and ask basic questions. Beside or along with lifelong learners, also experience-based learning. So I realized that I enjoy learning from experience. Yes, I would read a lot of theories. I would read a lot of books and articles, but at the same time, I want to experience them.
Okay, cool. Well, you know what? The one of the goals of the CEO series that we try to bring together people like yourself and just tell interesting stories. And, you know, I was speaking to someone today. I said, this show will be about you and your career so people can learn from that. And you brought it to the table. You gave us a masterclass in how you can start out, wrong decision, 8 years at home, kind of figure out where you want to go next and start on that journey. And now you're at the top of the pyramid. Can I say top of the pyramid?
Not yet, but yeah.
Close to the top of the pyramid. So any thoughts that you'd like to leave with the artists before we close out?
Ron, I remember when you told me a year ago to join your series, I told you, I'm not yet a CEO. And you were like, no, you're an inspirational leader. So being a guest on your series, honestly, has been a rewarding experience. It's honestly an evident that your show is dedicated its mission of providing a platform for engaging leaders and to share their experiences and career journey with others. I've truly enjoyed it. And I really want to thank you and thanks the team who are working behind the scenes and on supporting you on this series. Networking with people like you, Ron, knowledge sharing and from your series and from all the episodes that you've posted, learning from each other and especially in and mainly inspiring each other is a great joy to me. So thanks to you and to the team.
Thank you so much. Because we go back six or seven years. I think probably my second project when I set my business up was at Tabreed, and that's when we met. And so you think about how long that was. So this is why it gives me pleasure to have you as a guest, because I saw you at that point. And then as we followed and kept in touch, you know, I was in Abu Dhabi a month or so ago, and we, you know, at the end of the day, and to see that career progression, you have no idea what it means for me, because I'm big on that. And when I see all these kinds of things, and then when I woke up the other morning and I'm reading through the news and I see, what was it, the top 10 Emirati women? Was that?
Top 15 inspirational HR leaders in the UAE.
And I'm scrolling through, who do I know? Okay,
thank you.
And this is when I sent you the note. So thank you so much. And I'll see you in Abu Dhabi next time I'm in the neighborhood.
We'll see you soon. Thank you so much, Ron. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.